Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. The sermon today is I believe that church is important. I believe that church is important. We're going to look at probably the most well-known verse when it comes to church attendance, and that's Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Hebrews 10, verse 25, this is what the author of Hebrews, many believe it's Paul, wrote in Hebrews 10, 25. He says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Back in 1984, in New Zealand, there was a sheep named Shrek. Okay, he's up on the screen there. And this sheep named Shrek was trying to avoid, as you can tell, getting shaved down. He hid in the mountains of New Zealand for 6 years to avoid shearing. That's like me after the holiday season, what it looks like, which is why I start a diet every January 1st or 2nd, depending on how exciting New Year's is. Shrek hid in the mountains of New Zealand for 6 years. When he was finally found, his fleece weighed nearly 60 pounds. And obviously, it was burdening him terribly. And once he was sheared, he was free to the weight. It was said that 20 men's suits were made from the wool from Shrek the sheep. True story. And once he was finally sheared, he was freed of the weight. But like Shrek, Christians, okay, believers, children of God, who know what we're supposed to do, Christians who isolate themselves from church, oftentimes, just like Shrek the sheep, we become weighed down by sin, by loneliness, by discouragement. God did not design you. God did not design me. God did not design us to walk the Christian journey alone. And that is why Hebrews 10:25 is in the scriptures, in the Bible. And that's why it commands us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Let me read that scripture again. Hebrews 10:25. The author says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting, encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Not forsaking means not abandoning or deserting the local gathering. If the doors of the church are open, Paul is saying, the author is saying, you should be there. Don't forsake. And he says, as the manner of some is. Some believers in the New Testament here in the book of Hebrews at this time had already started skipping church, maybe for fear of persecution at that time. We don't really know, but Paul was calling them out, saying, hey, don't forsake the church. Don't forsake gathering with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Some people already are doing that. He said, but exhorting one another. We gather together back then in this church in the book of Hebrews, and today at Coastline, and in churches all across the Cape, in the country, in the world, we gather together to encourage, to comfort, and to strengthen each other. And then the author finishes, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day when Jesus comes back to get his bride. The return of Christ is coming near. Church is more important now than ever. I had the opportunity and privilege to grow up in church. Many of you, you started going to church maybe here at Coastline. This is your first church experience. Man, since I can remember, I grew up in church. My parents got saved when I was just a little kid. My dad actually got saved when we were stationed in Germany when he was in the military. And there was a missionary that had planted a church right near the base in Germany, Mainz, Germany. And as a kid, before I can remember, I was in church. When we moved back to the States, to Westfield, Massachusetts, we found a church right up the road, Pioneer Valley Baptist Church, and we started going. I think there's actually a picture my mom has of our first day ever going to church, because that day at the church back in 1990, probably three or four. They were having a special day at the church, and there was someone, we'll never do this, but back 20-something years ago, they did this at Pioneer Valley. They had someone taking pictures of people coming into church. It was like, oh, some happy Sunday or whatever. So there's a picture of us. We will never be out in front with cameras taking pictures as you're coming in, just so you know. But then, now we have a record of my first Sunday ever going to church as a kid. And we grew up in church. It's the church I got saved at. And then God led us to Mountain View Baptist Church when I was a teenager, and I grew up, and that's where I met my wife. And I've always been in church. I'm grateful for church. I don't know what it's like to not have church as part of my week. I don't know what that's like. I can't empathize with someone maybe that didn't grow up in church and had their Sundays as kind of a regular other weekend day, like a Saturday. I can't imagine having two weekend days, because Sunday has always been a day of church. When I was a kid, we had Sunday school, Sunday morning, and Sunday night service, and choir practice, so all day Sunday was busy. So I don't know what it's like. I can't empathize with someone that's like, oh, I really like my Sundays to be free. But I'll tell you this much. I believe that church is vitally important to the Christian life. I believe that church, I'll just make it personal. I believe that Coastline Baptist Church in West Yarmouth, Massachusetts, is vitally important for your life, for your Christian journey of faith. And I want to give you three reasons why I believe church is vitally important. The first one is on the screen. Church is where we glorify God together. We did it this morning, and what a great job you did worshiping the Lord. From the tabernacle back in the Old Testament to the early church that we see here in Hebrews to today, God's people have been called to worship corporately together. Psalm 95:6 says, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Since the beginning of the church, God has called his people, his children, to gather together and worship and glorify God together. Worship reminds us who God is. That's what it is. Listen, yes, you can worship in your car. I do all the time. You can worship at home, in your office, in your wherever. Out in the yard doing yard work, you can do that, yes. But God knows that corporate worship, worship together as a church, recenters our heart. It reminds us of who God is. I said it this morning in my prayer, Matthew 18, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We are called, we are commanded to gather together, yes, to hear the preaching of the word of God, but to worship together. Because here's the truth, church. I said this morning, and I know it's true, many of us carry burdens in today, and we didn't really feel like worshiping. We're tired. Maybe we got a trial, a valley that we're walking through. But you gather together in the house of God, and you sit in church, and the songs begin to sing, and we're standing up, and the words are on the screen, and you're tired, and you're worn out, and you really don't feel like singing, and you sure don't feel like lifting a hand of praise. But then you can look around the room and see your brothers and sisters in Christ, people also going through trials, people that are also tired from a long week of work, and their testimony of praise when they sing, God, move the immovable, break the unbreakable, we believe for it. When they say, I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, that does something in our hearts. It recenters us. Your song of praise in the church during our worship time, you have no idea what that can do for someone else's heart. Especially when, as a church family, we're close enough to kind of know each other's burdens. And as the scriptures say, bear one another's burdens. We kind of know what we're going through. So when you know that a brother or sister in Christ is going through a valley and you turn your head during a song and you can see them praising God, maybe even through tears, oh my goodness, does that encourage our hearts? We glorify God together. That's why church is so vitally important for the Christian life. It is where we have the opportunity to glorify God together. You have an orchestra with all the instruments. It makes music that one single violin could never make. I love the sound of a violin by itself. It's beautiful. When you get the whole orchestra together with all the strings and the horns and everything together, oh, the music that that can make. And likewise, the church's collective worship stirs our souls in ways that private worship never can. That is why, listen, that is why you'll hear me say, man, don't miss worship time. Man, be here at church when you need to be at church. I mean, you come in at the last song or the second last, you're missing out. We got to be in the house of God. It's important. We need to be here because our collective worship as a church stirs our souls in ways that private worship cannot. And I would also say this, not in my notes, but vice versa. There's times when my private worship stirs my souls in ways that corporate cannot. But they're both important. And they're both necessary for growth. So some of us have to commit to never treating church as an optional thing in our lives. I'm challenging you today. Church should not be maybe. Maybe I'll go this weekend. No. Because I promise you more often than not, it'll be easy for that maybe to turn into a not this week. Church should not be optional. We all have priorities. And where does God and His house fall in your priority list? Prioritize Sunday. It's a weekly appointment with God and God's people that I can't miss. I'm not going to miss it. Listen, barring sickness or being in the hospital or being on vacation, yeah, sure. But when I'm home, when I'm in my place, when it's just a regular week, what is going to keep me from getting to the house of God? It shouldn't be anything. Church should not be optional. We cannot let even work or sports or convenience rob God of His glory in your life. I love sports. I love kids' sports. I have a job too. I understand. Praise God. I don't have to work on the weekends. Praise God for that. But listen, church, we've heard testimony of some that said, hey, you know what? I was getting ready to tell my job that I couldn't be there on Sundays anymore. And praise God, the Lord did something in their workplace and they got Sundays off. The business shut down on Sundays for them. That was Darren's testimony last year. Praise God for it. We cannot treat church as something that maybe we'll do and it's just kind of this thing once in a while. No, it's not optional. It's necessary. It's vital. We must treat the church with importance. Amen. We have to, church. We have to. Yes, sir. But not only is church where we worship together, it's where we grow together. Church is where we grow together. The discipleship. Ephesians 4:11 says, and He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let me read that scripture again. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the making whole, for the teaching, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the encouraging, the lifting up of the body of Christ. That's you. God designed the church to help believers mature in their faith through sound preaching, through accountability from our brothers and sisters in Christ, and from serving the Lord alongside other people. God designed the church. And isn't it amazing how all churches... The churches, even in the Cape, think about the great gospel preaching churches on the Cape, how different they are. But the functions are all the same. God designed the church, yes, for worship of Him, but for maturing of our faith through the preaching of the Word of God. God designed the church for accountability among believers where we lift each other up. We don't judge one another and call each other out pridefully, but no, we keep each other accountable. That's what it's there for. God designed the church to serve. We serve each other. That's why I called today, hey, we need some nursery workers. We need some sanitary workers. Hey, you know, we need some people that say, you know what, I'll be there. I'll be a greeter. I'll be out in the lobby nice and early. And when people are coming in, man, I'm going to welcome them with a smile. Not going to freak them out, but I'm going to welcome them with a smile. I'll stand outside in the sidewalk with a sign that says, welcome home, whatever. I want to serve in my church. God designed the church for those reasons. A Christian alone, isolated, is like a brick that's removed from a wall. And the whole thing loses stability and purpose. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We're not built, we're not designed as people to go through this journey of life alone. A coal removed from the fire grows cold. Think about it. A coal removed from the fire grows cold. Some of you have lived that and you've experienced that. You know, you can look back on times in your life when you stepped away from church for a time and your faith did begin to grow cold. You may have done your best in personal devotion time and worship music in your car, but you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that not being in the house of God, not gathering with the local church as we are commanded to do, it affects your faith. It affects your countenance. It affects your attitude. So we got to stay close to that flame, that fire of fellowship and discipleship within your local church. It's not optional. It's where we grow together. It's where we serve together. So stop being, maybe you've been here a while, and listen, if this is your first Sunday, I'm not saying, hey, you better get involved. I want you to come and enjoy and learn and figure out this is where God has for you, and I hope it is the church home that God has for you. But if you've been coming long enough, stop being a spectator. Stop being someone that just comes, sits, gets fed, gets all fat and happy spiritually and walks out without giving anything back. Stop being a spectator. Get involved. Find a place to serve. Say, well, I don't really know. Well, come ask me. Hey, I need to do something. And when we have different, we'll have small groups throughout the summer and we'll do different, you know, men's and ladies' activities and things like that, worship nights. Man, be a part. I want to challenge you this week. Take one step this week to grow spiritually here at Coastline. Maybe it's you coming up and saying, I want to serve somewhere. Maybe it's you deciding, you know, starting next week, next Sunday, I'm going to worship a little bit harder. I'm going to get out of my comfort zone, and I'm going to encourage others by my worship. I'm going to make sure I'm there early to greet. Whatever I can do, I'm going to take one step this week to grow in my church. Because church is where we grow together. Church is where we grow together. God has built this church. Not me. Not me, Marissa, not the Savinis. No. Listen, think about the fact that there are people on the Cape that can barely make it to live, to pay their rent or their mortgage, or find a job, fill in the blank. It's expensive. God has kept this place alive. Think about that. It's miraculous that we're sitting in this building, the old billiards hall here in West Yarmouth, singing the songs of Jesus, the word of God being preached, people getting saved, baptizing people out in the lobby and in the parking lot, lives being changed. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that this place is here today. You're sitting in a miracle. Be involved in the miracle. Be involved in the miracle. It's where we grow together. And lastly is this. Church is where we encourage one another. Church is where we encourage one another. We've touched on it the last few points about that. But Hebrews 10:25, we know the scripture says, not forsaking, as the manner of some is. And that says, but exhorting one another. Encouraging. Exhorting means to encourage, to lift up. Exhorting one another. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Life is hard. Life is hard. Trials, valleys, temptations wear us down. Man, do they. Man, life is hard. But the church, the local church, Coastline Baptist Church, exists to carry each other's burdens. Galatians 6, what I said earlier, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill ye the law of Christ. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9, reminds us that two are better than one. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. I've had the opportunity to walk with some of you in dark times and try to lift you up. And I'll say it vice versa. I'm the pastor. You think I don't have trials? Oh, I do. Some of you have walked me through some dark valleys, have lifted me up. That's the church. That's the local church that you need in your life. What we do is we come in with masks on, like we got everything together. And what many of us like to do, and it's in our nature, it's in our nature for us to come in the doors, grab an iced coffee, come in with a big smile, fake or not, on our faces. And we come in and we sit and we sing the songs, and then service is out and we give some smiles and some handshakes and some hugs. Oh, it's so great to see you. And we go out to our cars brokenhearted. Everything is below the surface. If they all know the real me, and we live these lives under the mask. When God designed this place, God designed the church. Jesus Christ died for the church, for us to bear each other's burdens, to walk through grief, to walk through trials, to carry each other, to lift each other up. And some of us will keep it all hidden and try to go at it alone. And God has given you a family. Brothers and sisters in Christ. To encourage each other. Be intentional this week. Make a call to somebody in this church. Send a text message. Get some coffee. The church is vitally important because it's where we encourage each other. It's where we lift each other up. People are struggling. People are hurting. People are burdened. And whether they look like it or not on the outside, it's the facts of the matter. We lift each other up. And can I say this? For a visitor, I would hope for a visitor that comes to Coastline, if they can see a body of believers that love each other, that lift each other up, that encourage each other, that are involved with each other, that care, that's an attractive aspect of a church. Because people, whether they admit it or not, that's what they crave. They crave authenticity. They just want people to be real. They just want people to be real and honest. It's vitally important, church. Be an encourager. Are we just people that always complain? Someone says, hey, how's it going? We're like, well, you know. You know. Listen, I've said this. Oh, I'll say it. I catch myself because I'll be like, man, it's been a long week. And that's the truth. But I try to be like, but God is good. Even if that's hard for me to say, we need to be encouragers. We need to be encouraging people, not discouraging, not always down in the dumps. No, but lifting each other up and glorifying the name of God and trusting Him. That's what we're called to do. The church is not a social club. It's a family of God on mission together. That's what this is, and you get to be a part of it. If we started treating church as a privilege instead of a hassle or inconvenience, we'd be a lot better off. If we started treating church as a privilege, we get to be part of a church. We get to have a family of believers. We get to sing the praises of God together and hear the preaching of God's word. Instead, it seems to be this habit that we get tired of, or a chore. Church becomes a chore. And that's, your heart is wrong. Your heart is not right with God if church to you is a chore. Like it or lump it, that's the facts. And listen, can I tell you this? There have been times as the pastor of this church, the church has felt like a chore. I've said it before. I'll be driving from 6A, dangerous 6A with all those deer that I keep hitting. Yeah. And I got that 25-minute drive. Thankfully, 25, 30 minutes is enough time for the Holy Spirit to slap me up a little bit. And I'll be like,
I wonder who's going to show up today.
And I start getting all negative, and the enemy just lies. I mean, you got nothing to offer. And there have been times as the pastor of this church that I really don't feel like coming. And I don't have an option. I have to come. And every time the Spirit of God says, come on, Donald. Really? After all that you've seen? After all that you've seen me do in your life and in this church and the lives of these people? And little by little, the Lord begins to knock those sharp edges off my heart. And I'm reminded of the importance of this place. Of this place that I get to walk in. Sometimes when I'm in the right spirit, I'll be getting the mail at the post office during the week, picking up kids from school, and I'll drive in to drop something off or check the mailbox here, and I'll walk in the doors. And oftentimes the Spirit of God, it's like he slapped me with reality and says, look at this place. And I look around, I'm like, wow, we're here. Like, this is Coastline. This is a church. This is a real church. Wow. I can't believe 6 years ago, none of this existed. It was just an imagination. It was just a dream. And God took that dream and made it reality. And if we treated church as a privilege instead of a hassle, our hearts would be in a better place. We'd be more of an encourager. We would grow in our faith. It's a place to glorify God together. It's a place to grow together. It's a place to encourage one another. Psalm 92 says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. I mentioned hitting that deer on 6A. And I don't know what happened, but shortly after I hit that deer, my right wrist started to like really be sore. I would do certain things and it would shoot pain up my wrist. And I was like, what did I do? I didn't even fall. Like, I didn't do anything. I'm like, what happened? You know, I'm not that old. I shouldn't be falling apart at 35. And I started to get worse to where like I was trying to pick up my nephew and like it would just shoot pain down my wrist. And I'm like, what is going on here? And I didn't feel like going to the doctor's because we're going on vacation this coming week for just a quick weekend away. And I'm like, I don't want to have a cast on vacation. I don't know what's wrong with it. It started making funny cracking noises whenever I'd move it. I'm like, this is not good. So my wife, the medical professional, said, did you just go get a brace? So I went over to CVS, spent a few bucks and got this little brace and put it on. And I'll say that wearing it can be kind of a hassle. Sometimes it can be kind of, you know, kind of get in the way. But I've noticed that it really has helped, you know, make it, it keeps it stable. You know, I'm not bending it the way that would hurt it. And it's actually like kind of been pretty helpful. And as I was preparing this sermon, I was thinking about this, probably because I was trying to type with this on. And I thought, you know, this wrist brace is not, it's not healing my wrist. Ultimately, I think the body does that itself. When you take care of it, it heals. So it's not like this is the healer. But I'll tell you one thing. This is making it go a lot quicker. It's keeping the wrist stable. It's obviously accelerating the healing process because it's not as bad as it was a week and a half ago. That's for sure. And I thought about the fact that church attendance does not make you a good Christian. And if I'm being honest, some of the worst people I know with the most evil intentions go to church every single week. And they don't miss a beat. They're there early and stay late. And they are not good people. Some of you have been hurt in the church before. And you can say, yeah, I know that's the truth. Church attendance, just getting into a building on a Sunday morning, does not make you a good Christian. But I'll say this, just like this brace isn't the ultimate healer, but it is helping. When you go to church with the right heart, looking for God to do something in your life, I promise it'll accelerate the healing process in your heart. Amen. Amen. Ultimately, yes, I could probably not wear this and just be really careful and it might heal. But I'm telling you, this has helped me a lot. It has given me the opportunity to maybe do things that I couldn't do without it. And it is helping keep it stable. And just like it, the church can help you remain stable when life and the storms of life are sweeping through and you come through these doors and everything is falling apart in your life, and then you look around and realize, wow, other people's lives are falling apart too, but they're trusting God. Hey, other people are struggling too, but they're trusting God and worshiping God. And little by little, God begins to stabilize you and is using the church as a brace, as a help, as something that is bringing healing to you.
Amen.
Church. It's important. You need it. If you believe in Christ, if you believe in Christ, commit to His church. It shouldn't be an occasional thing. Man, belong fully. Belong fully. And we will flourish and grow together. As the scriptures say in Hebrews 10, as we see His day approaching, Him coming back and returning for us. In your heart today, church, make this declaration. I believe that church is important. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.